because but Renske's done a fabulous presentation here, and so we're looking forward to that, aren't we, Church? All right, so Renske, over to you.
Thank you, Nigel. Yes, as Nigel said, we spent about 6 days in Liberia, and we had an absolutely awesome time. We were just made so welcome. It was really like being among family there. Instantly, it was just, we had no idea what to expect, but it was just overwhelming. So if we could go to the next slide, David, thank you. If for those of you who don't know where Liberia is, it's in West Africa there, as you can see on the map. If we go to the next slide in a little bit more detail, we'll see Monrovia, which is the capital, and we were just sort of to the, just slightly east of there, I guess, is Painesville, a big area. And the other church that Nigel just mentioned, if you just look to the northeast of Monrovia, is Kakata. So it's a, yeah, like I said, a couple of hours drive away, which is also a very interesting place to visit. Now, if we just look through the next few slides, just gives you a little bit of an idea of the area that we visited. Now, Painesville, one day Pastor Colley, the pastor of the actual church there, took us for a bit of a walk through. If we could just go back a couple of slides, please, David. Through Painesville, and just started to tell us a little bit about what this area, apparently it was actually quite a nice area at one stage, but I don't know if you know, but Liberia had over the last few decades quite a lot of conflict, terrible conflict actually, and Painesville sort of became a bit of a refugee camp, I guess, and a lot of people that settled there during that time of conflict just haven't been able to leave, I guess, and go back to where they came from. And they had their lives totally disrupted, and they've really been plunged into poverty. So it was really quite an eye-opener. Some of the worst of it, you really feel like, as we walk further in and when you see the homes, they're so simple. You know, some of them really just a bit of grass matting as walls and a little bit of a shelter on the roof. And we were there in the dry season, so you sort of wonder now, wet season, what can that possibly be like? So, anyway, as we move on to the next slide, yeah, this is an area. Now, this is during the day. This is sort of, I guess, the main drag of Painesville. At night time, about mid-afternoon, this is just mayhem. There's just cars and motorbikes and people wherever you look. It's just jam-packed. I do not know how our driver got us through there, because it's just incredible. And it's just people doing whatever they have to do, to make their living. But it's just like a huge market area, and everything is just happening there. It's just unbelievable, and it's actually known as red light. If we move on to the next slide, please, David. Now, for those of you who don't know, sort of to the forefront in this photo is Pastor Colley and his wife Florence. And this is outside the church in Painesville. Two gentlemen to the left of him are two of the board members, Pee Wee and Matthew. And the gentleman to the far right is a gentleman called Dominic, who's actually the church administrator. Dominic has just done an awesome job sort of gathering a lot of information together for us. He is really working very hard there in the background. So we'll just look through the next three slides, thanks. So every time we're at the church there, there's just, didn't matter what time, day or night, there's kids, lots of kids, you know, just from the surrounding areas. Now, as I said earlier, one of the casualties of the years of conflict there is that people's lives have been totally disrupted. And one of the biggest areas where they've been disrupted is their access to education. And I just did a bit of searching online when I came back myself. Now, according to law in Liberia, people are meant to have at least 10 years education up to age 16. But the reality is, that probably just over 50% of people actually go to even just primary school. And the statistics for actually completing primary school, I'm not sure, that varies a lot depending where you look, but I'd suggest they'd be quite low. Now, to go on to high school, I believe the statistic is about 23% of boys and about 13% of girls manage to go on. Now, I look at a place like Liberia, and there's so much happening there because they are very much in a state of rebuilding. There is a lot of potential there. There's so many resources, and there are other countries that are sort of investing there. But you sort of think, you know, the very people that need it the most, just out of this, largely out of the fact that they don't have education, is very much a limiting factor for them to actually be able to access some of the prosperity that can potentially come into this country in terms of work and opportunities and building. So anyway, one of the things that when we did that went there is Pastor Nigel actually approached Pastor Collie and the church there about the possibility of us actually being involved in sponsoring some of these children in the church, because they recognise it's a huge need, education, that we could possibly sponsor some children to get some education. Now, the initial thought was that they would gather information and that we would possibly sponsor individual children, and we sort of went with this idea to start with. Now, if we want to move along with the slides, thanks, David. Now, while we happened to be there, one day they took us up to an area in Painesville where there's actually quite an orphanage. Now, this is run by one of the ladies from the church. Sue might talk a little bit later about a bit more about that. But at this particular orphanage, they currently have about 30 children. They're running on very low funds. But they have quite a few buildings built there. And one of the buildings that we were taken through was actually some school buildings. It's very, very basic. There's a lot of finishing off to be done. But one of the issues there is that they just aren't able to have... They haven't had the funds ever to employ teachers or just do the finishing off that they need. One of the problems in Liberia is often with the schools that are actually there. There are very few, and they're usually very poorly equipped and they're very overcrowded as well. So anyway, when we came back, upon further discussion, we sort of were throwing around a few ideas at a meeting one night, and one of the things is, well, there is already this facility there, and it was going to cost us a certain amount to sponsor all these individual children, but really, when you look at it, there's still going to be these 30 children from this school. We had application from about 43 individuals from the church itself for sponsorship. But on further discussion, we just sort of got thinking, well, you know, there's this facility there. It's currently not being used. And we decided that possibly we would look into how feasible it would be to actually get that school up and running, and how possibly then we could actually help a lot more people and actually be building something for the future.
Right.
You know.
So, yeah, just to clarify, we had 45. We've got the child, the sponsor forms outside. But what we're going to do, in fact, is actually endeavour to sponsor the entire school, which Rens is going to talk about in a moment. And it's basically the same money, and we get to support a lot more children. Mm. And it helps the whole community that way. So thanks.
As you've possibly seen through some of the previous slides, some of the buildings, you know, there's quite a complex of buildings there, but they just need those final touches. They need a bit of finishing off. So they've actually gone to quite a lot of trouble to actually cost all this what would be required exactly. And I think that comes to just about $4,000 actually, just to finish off these buildings. Now, as we're looking further in, we actually asked them to look in, you know, how, if we were to do this school, how many staff would we need? Currently, they've come back to us. Well, they did estimate about 20 people, because, you know, they need security, they need teachers, they need all the different people that work in the background to run a school. But actually, at this point, we've got about 12 people listed that we would need, basically, to get the school up and running. So as we look at this further, you know, it's not just about the school. It's actually, through this, we can potentially provide employment for 12 or possibly eventually 20 people. Just that in itself is a huge impact
in
a small community. And as we look further into this, it's also... One of the long-term goals, I guess, is basically not just for this to be... for us to sponsor, but for this to actually become something self-sufficient and something that can be built on in the future as well. Because basically there isn't a lot of, as I said earlier, there's not a lot of schools actually available in that area, and we can potentially get a lot of kids in from the surrounding area as well. Go to the next, previous slide. Currently, like I said, we've got about, of the applicants that we've had, we've got 30 for elementary school, just from the church itself. We have about 7 applicants for high school. Currently, we won't, if we are to start up the school, we won't have facility for the high school students. So the idea at this point is that they will be sponsored to attend local schools, or high schools, wherever there is access to those. And we also have 3 applicants for university students. So really, we're at this point, we're not 100% sure how this is. It really depends on the response that we get, I guess, very much at this point.
I'll talk about that in a moment.
So they have actually provided us with an awful lot of detail, you know, with staff costs. If you actually look on the next slides, that's roughly. So the wages, actually, if we're to do this, compared to what we were to pay to sponsor individuals, it's actually quite cost effective. Now, initially, we'd be looking at upgrading the buildings as well, but once that's done. So, you know, in the long term, it's actually quite a good return for what we can put into this. If we go on to the next slide, please. Next one again. Okay. Right. Just to wrap up. Currently, we've got the 2 churches there. Pastor Nigel has mentioned that there's a possibility even of a couple more churches coming on board in C3 in Africa. So part of what we're looking at is, you know, supporting those pastors. So we've just done, we've got the supporting of the high school students, about $5,000. This is sort of a generous allowance that allows for any sort of unforeseen things to happen. But all this sponsorship includes uniforms, books, fees, everything basically they need for school for a year. And fit out of the school and supporting the school. So we're looking at a total of about $28,000. And one of the things that we did start looking at very early in the piece is tax deductibility for people who are wishing to donate to this, so, which is quite an important consideration, and I believe that's very much in process.
That's right. Yes, we've been actually been advised that it's looking highly likely. We're just waiting on the government to... So what will happen is that you can give to Africa, and if you need a tax receipt, you will be able to get one of those and backdate it once we get our licence, if it's charitable's licence. So that's good news too for business people and those that want to give in this area. And that's why we're doing also, because we're doing the microcredit, if you like, in supporting, which we will end up supporting 20 staff to run the school and the orphanage. That's one of the things the government look for, to see that we're actually uplifting or upgrading, if you like, the facilities that are already that are there. So that's fantastic, isn't it?
Right, so just to wrap up, you know, this is really, the way I see this is not most like a handout to people. This is a hand up where they can actually build on something for their own future, you know, and that's really what's going to make the difference in the long term there. And it might seem overwhelming, but in this community, I think this can just, you know, it's like a ripple effect in a community, and I'm just really excited about this whole opportunity that we have there.
Fantastic. So. Thanks, Renske. Let's give Renske a hand. Excellent. Oh, that wasn't so difficult, was it, hey? So I was going to ask Suzanne a question, because she's been very quiet. And so what impact has going to Liberia had on yourself, Suzanne?
When we first arrived, I think driving through and looking at poverty was obviously knocked you off your feet. But you don't, you see it on TV and see it in reality, it's 2 different things. But then to see the signs, I don't know if you noticed the signs up there, there was like Premier Homes, and I think that one was up there, and then you looked at what the homes were, and there was the big sign next to our C3 church sign that said Liberia, a new future. Well, and when you're looking around the place and you're seeing these signs, that was like, what the? You know, but you saw the hope that these people have, that they know that there is hope and they can make something happen. You know, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was a long way to go.
Long way.
Yeah, but they've got that. Their signs mean a lot to them, I guess, but the actual reality is far different.
Oh, fresh water, you know, running water. We saw wells that were locked up. Some could only go to, and this is right outside our pastor Collie's place, that were locked up and they could only go at certain times to get the water out, you know. So there's no running water, there's no electricity in our pastor. that's how everybody lives. No electricity, no fresh running water.
That's right.
Nothing on the ground, dirt, floors.
Yeah. So we all had a special time when we baptised the young people. Let's go back to the first. Yeah, here we go. We baptised some people. What memories did this hold for you? What memories did it hold for you, Renzi?
You know, kids are just kids wherever they are, and they're just so much fun, these kids, when we got down to the beach. I don't think they get to go there very often, but I just looked at them. I remember looking at them as they were sort of gathering beforehand, just thinking, you know, what does the future really hold for them, and having seen the circumstances of where they live. But the one thing, and they just... The thing there, that they are very... What's different here is we don't always realise our need for God, which is one of the things Nigel said when we were there. And they do. They just, they've got nothing. They have to depend on God. And that's very evident there. And I just thought, well, that's what they've got. They've got Jesus. They've got the most important thing. And that's the thing that we actually need to get
on. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Well, let's thank Sue and Renske this morning. Fantastic job. Thanks, girls. Awesome. Let's just, before we go, let's just pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for, Lord, right now for Liberia. I pray for C3 Church Painesville and C3 Church Kakata. Father, Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, for increase in that area. And I pray through what the things that we've been able to achieve, Lord, in going and seeing for ourselves, but also that there would be a way for us to see this community, Lord, come back, get back on its feet. And Lord, more and more people loving Jesus.
Thank you, God.
People of God
thank
said,
God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
fantastic.
Girls.
Fantastic. Let's thank these guys. That's awesome. I'm just going to conclude in the last 2 minutes about Africa. So what we're asking is that we're asking you to grab an opportunity about C3 Africa. What that opportunity is we want to present with you an opportunity to, now we've actually adopted that orphanage. We now have an orphanage. And what that's going to do is that's going to actually cost us to have the orphanage. It's going to cost us to now educate children. So what will be happening was, as Renske said previously, we presented to you the opportunity of sponsoring an individual child. Now what we would like to present with you is the opportunity to actually sponsor a whole school. So you will be getting a photo of 75 children. They will be your sponsored children. Some people have come back and said, look, I really would just love to sponsor a child. That will be $400 to sponsor that child. And you can just have a photo of a child if you like. But what we've wanted to do is we've wanted to say, hey, guys, these are the opportunities. You can sponsor a child for $400 a year, or you can sponsor the school. And what that will actually give you, if you like, bang for your buck, is that you will not only be sponsoring the children, you'll be providing employment, you will be also providing apprenticeships for the kids, you will also be changing the whole dynamic of that area. So that's pretty huge, isn't it? So we went from wanting to do child sponsorship to being given all these opportunities, and we wanted to present those to you this morning because it's just sort of just gone so quickly. We had a 5-year plan to do this. God has said, you know what, you're going to actually achieve it in 3. But the way that we do that, and we're presenting it to you today as a church, is it's really up to you. We can't do it. You need to do it with us. And so to actually achieve this, it's $28,500 to do that. I actually think that's quite achievable for us as a church. So we'll now be providing food and support to the orphanage. We'll be providing education to the children for 75 kids, and that's going to grow. We're also going to be providing some secondary and university sponsorship, and it will be able to be providing apprenticeships. So are you excited about that, church? It's gone from this small little thing of just sponsoring a child. That's what we came back with the plan. And as Renske said, it's now increased. But it's up to you. That's the reality. As a church and as a board, we don't actually have the finances to do this. It's really up to us to go, okay, God, this is what you've presented before us. This is what you presented with Southeast Asia. These are the opportunities you presented with Port Care. It's really now up to us what we decide to do with that. If you don't want to get involved, that's fine. We won't do some of these things. It's really your choice what we do. Isn't that just overwhelming, that responsibility? God's given us the opportunities. We're now, and I know, as Pastor said earlier, in faith, We're going to do that. That is easy. And, you know, that's just the beginning of what God wants to do in Africa and other countries around the world. Thanks, Pastor Nigel.
Thanks, sweetheart. Fantastic. Turn in your Bibles, Matthew 25. As I've been talking about Matthew 25, there is to be a day of future reckoning for all people, which Jesus finishes on in Matthew 25. But before that, he tells two stories. The first one being the story of the 10 virgins. Five weren't prepared. And now, then the second part, second story they did was the story of the story which we're going to look at briefly this morning about the stewards. And my observation is this from this passage, which obviously by now we've got an idea, but I thought I had my glasses on my head. Let's put my hands on my head. It actually talks about those who look at verse 40, and the king will tell them, I assure you, when you did it for one of the least of these, how can you not feel some sort of compassion to some of these children we've just looked at and in the previous weeks? My brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. See, there is an observation in this passage too that I've noticed, that Jesus speaks of judgment being obvious. And I don't think we talk about judgment very much. And mostly people that I associate with outside of church think that everything's going to be okay. It's going to be a good life. That, you know, I do a bit of surfing and, you know, Huey will look after me. You know, that's the God of the surfers, if you didn't know. So, you know, I don't know who Huey is, but hey, I'm glad I got a personal relationship with Jesus and not Huey. So, mostly people think of judgment being irrational and the least anticipated thing in the world. Most people think of the afterlife, like I said, in good terms. And few people think that there could be something worse for them in life to come. And three things are going to occur in the last days. Christ is coming back. Jesus will return. His word is sure, Revelation says. He's coming back on the clouds. We will know it will be a triumphant time, and those that are with him will be resurrected with him. And in fact, we'll all be resurrected, but then there's this time of judgment. Your body's going to be resurrected. And then thirdly, there is going to be a final judgment for each person. And once again, Jesus has used his initial stories before the final judgment to give emphasis to this. So let's talk this morning for the moments I have left about the three servants. So come with me to Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants. Who's the man who's been on a trip, by the way? Jesus. Where is he now? Has he gone to heaven? Is he coming back? Absolutely. So he called together his servants. All right, so he calls together you and I. And he gives them money to invest. Who here has any kind of income? Are we getting this? He gives them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave five bags of gold to one. Two bags of gold. Who'd like five bags of gold? Anyway, he gave five bags of gold to one, two bags of gold to another, and one bag of gold to the last, dividing it in the proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with two bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the one bag of gold dug a hole in the ground, hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of gold said, Sir, you gave me five bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you even more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Next came the servant who had received the two bags of gold. with a similar report. What have you done with the two bags I gave you to invest? I have doubled the amount. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you even more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of gold came and said, sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is. Stating the obvious, these two servants of the Lord did something with what they had been given. One did nothing. And the reason their master, which we know is Christ, was so pleased with them was because they were operating in faith with the things, the resources, in our case, the money that we have to help others with far greater need. That's how this story unfolds. See, dead faith saves no one. I'm so glad that we're a church that believe and live out our faith. If we had not started our church in Liberia, there would be less souls in the kingdom today. Now let me, I'll give you, because I got the statistics in just this week from C3 Kakata, and I was looking at it, as I flick it to Morena, because Morena fills in the forms because their English is not good enough to do it themselves. Long story. So I happened to see there that there was two brand new salvations, first time decisions for Christ at C3 Kakata. This is not the main church we started, but the other. And so now we are actually seeing from the seed that we have sown growth in the kingdom of God, and I think that is incredible. I think it's it blows my mind that if we hadn't have given them some support, if we hadn't gone as a team over there, and I, you know, even helped with the handed the pastor and said, look after your family, we want to see you, we'll see this thing prosper, and gave him some US dollars that I had left. We're all a part of that. How incredible. Look at this in James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save him? See, the Apostle Paul also makes this statement in the book of Romans. He will give eternal life to those who persist in doing what is good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. There is a necessity of works following faith. And if we truly are regenerate, then we will be a people that know that when the Holy Spirit speaks, that we are to reach out and touch other people's lives. We are not justified by works, but if we do not have works, we are not justified. James Montgomery Boyce, one of the commentators, made that comment. He went a bit further and said, but if we don't actually do works as Christians, then we are not Christians. The last servant was given one talent. He was judged for failing to use what he had. You can read all about it yourself. And I want us to see how Jesus finishes up his story of the three servants. Matthew 25, verse 29. To those who use well what they are given. Who'd like to use well what God's given them? To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. When you give to those in need, you can pray to your Lord and you can say, Lord, I thank you that I am not going to lack, I'm going to have abundance because I'm doing your work. How incredible is this passage of scripture here? To those who use what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. God will not excuse our lack of faith when we get to heaven. And there is no excuse we can give to God with what we have been given, much or little. When judgment comes, our persevering faith will save us. Our giving lifestyle is going to save us. Our generous spirit is going to save us. The third servant said, I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. This was an excuse to try and do what the master thought. He thought he knew the master's character. That's a dangerous ground, isn't it? What did God say to the servant who had questioned his character? Well then, if you knew my character, then you should have worked all the harder. We cannot be lazy in our faith toward God. Those things that have eternal value, God regards of extreme importance. I've looked over the last 3 weeks at our local mission of Port Care. I've looked last week at just about drew tears in my eyes. I don't know about you, and I was watching that video that Jane and Roy presented of Southeast Asia and being able to help child soldiers have a far better life and see those people in eternity. And then I look at and been there with my own eyes and seen the poverty with the girls and with Andrea and my daughter Sarah and Susan Pitar that have been up there. These are real needs that we can transfer through our giving to see eternity being changed forever. And so it is extremely important. We can get away with giving excuses to other people. You can give excuses to your boss. You can give excuses to your teacher. You can give excuses to your mum and dad. But you can't give an excuse to the Master of Heaven. Next Sunday, we can all bring cash offering and we can all bring a faith promise card and say, Lord, I thank you that I can be a part of eternity. Father, today I pray, let's bow our heads. Father, today I pray that every person, Lord, would prioritize next weekend. Father, that we would see this house go from strength to strength. Lord, through our giving to this great need, that we may see your kingdom come and celebrate with those we possibly will never meet, but we will meet them when we get to heaven. And we thank you for this great opportunity to be a blessing beyond ourselves. And we thank you that that's what it is to be a Christian. The people of God said, Amen.